allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're gonna move right along to, we have a new reporter here tonight from the Milton News. Tell me your name again, please.
Gabe.
Gabe.
What's your last name, Gabe?
Napoleon.
Oh, well, okay. See if we hear.
We're not gonna make any jokes here.
Did you go to Weavetown?
No, I'm from Kent, so I was at PD.
Good luck in your position.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Told me they were writing fire tonight.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move right on to the principal's update. Ken?
I just wanted to talk briefly about the opening day of, opening few weeks of school. It's interesting that we've got Andrew and Paul here, and that's like maybe they can add a little to this. Well, it seemed as though when we got here, it really seemed as if we had never left. And, you know, we kind of hit the ground running. It was about as smooth a first day that I can remember. And I had a quick faculty meeting with the faculty on Tuesday after being here for 4 days, and they agreed it was kind of seamless. There were still, you know, 52 schedule changes. None of them were made because the schedules were incomplete. They were just made because, as they always are, I don't want to take that class anymore, I want to take this. And that opportunity closes as of Thursday. So, we kind of hit the ground running. I don't know if you guys want to comment on that.
Basically said it all. Yeah, I think you covered it well.
You know, we met with the kids. I met with the kids first day of school, into the classes, and went over the student handbook and talked a little bit about expectations for the year. And send them back to class. You know, we don't think you were in the auditorium any more than 10 minutes, probably. So, no, it's been a great start. You know, no discipline. I think we had two small discipline referrals today for the bus referrals, but, you know, it's, I can say it all the time. We've had a great bunch of kids. So.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Katie?
The opening of school went really, really well. Probably one of the smoothest openings we've had here. And we had no crying kindergarten students or pre-K students, which was amazing. Usually had one or two, but we didn't have any.
Not even the parents?
So, we had a couple of parents. We did.
How are they doing at leaving them at the door?
They're doing great. They really are. They're doing great. They leave them at the door. I don't think as many parents dropping off this year as we had in the past year, a few regulars. So it's going great. We also, I have to thank my staff. They do a wonderful job all the time, but the first few days of school, everybody who's not in the classroom is outside. We take our pre-K and our kindergarten students off the bus first. We get them to their classrooms. Everybody's there to help, and there are people all over the building assisting the kids. Even the kids who are returning to us that can't remember where their classroom is, or even who we are. So that went very well. We started NWEA testing today, so we'll be doing that for the next 2 weeks and start looking at that data. And I also had summer school this summer for the first time. We've always had an ESL summer program for students K through 8 actually, I think. And this year we had that program. Monica Baker-Bosek does an elementary level, and Jim Moore does the upper level. And it's very well attended by our ELL population. We also had two bona fide special ed programs that were approved by New York State. So we did not have to send our students out to BOCES. Those students that are in our self-contained classes were normally sent out during the summer, remained with us this summer, as well as we were able to invite some students who were transitioning back to the district from out-of-district placements. That was a 6-week, 30-day program, and it went very well and was very well attended.
How many students attended?
We had Ms. Nethercott, I believe, had 9, and Ms. Chasen had 7. We invited more, but many parents do opt out, not sending their students to summer school. We had room for up to 12 in the program.
Well, it's good to have the kids come here instead of going out to BOCES. That, we probably got more than we would have if they'd been going out to BOCES instead.
We did. There actually, there were 2 students that have been recommended for summer school every single year, and their parents opt not to send them out to BOCES every year. And both those students came to our summer program this summer. And we also had a program for incoming kindergarten students to get them acclimated and adjusted. Maybe that's why we didn't have any priors. So Stephanie Oberlin taught that program and kind of helped the students get to know the building, get to know the routines, what to expect when they first come into kindergarten. And Karen Rubin did a writing institution with her 4th through 6th graders. She had, I think, 8 students, I believe, that came in and worked on the computers and did some writing projects with her and increased their language arts.
Great.
Jennifer?
I'm up.
You're up.
Okay. Well, the good news is it appears that we hit the ground running at EBIS. I got a lot of positive feedback, so I'm assuming that it was planned chaos for a reason. It actually worked out quite well. It was, you know, accounted for. Nobody went home crying except for me, but it worked out well. We've taken a big look at security, like dismissal and arrival procedures in the morning to make sure that everybody's accounted for, that everybody has a homeroom, we know where everyone is. In the afternoon for dismissal or for early parent pickup during the day, we've asked parents for identification. Again, just so that we understand and we know that we're releasing the children to the parents. We've been asking for notes. So we've increased security in the photo ID process. And this year, in addition to doing the barbecue, as the PTA has done in the past, we instituted a curriculum night at EBIS. We did it the night before Wes did theirs. And it was a decent turnout. I'm not sure if the heat and the humidity dampened everything or it's just that it's something brand new. But I think the parents left feeling secure and received a lot of important information. And they felt welcomed in the building, which I think is a very positive thing.
And
we're hitting the ground running real quick.
That's good. Thank you. Did we have the kids that get off for different activities off the school buses, do they bring in letters or permission slips every day too?
If they're staying for after school, absolutely. We've asked for them to send us a note prior to. One thing that we have noticed is we've received a couple letters from parents saying, my 4th grader's staying after school for the game. And we've been calling parents and saying they just can't stay after school. They're not being supervised by an adult. They're not allowed to stay. That's any good policy change. It's very different from the past. And most parents are pretty receptive towards it. You know, once we explain that there is no adult supervision, oh, my 4th grade, yes, your 4th grade cannot be in the building unattended.
So where do they go then? After school programs then?
So far, so good. They've been going home on the bus. I've even offered to stay if it was a binding situation where the parent was at work and couldn't come pick them up. But we've been able to give them at least, you know, a good 5 hours notice. We try to make those phone calls first thing in the morning.
Okay.
One thing that we were talking about, I think, that we did want kids to be able to go to these games. And some kids who leave aren't going to be able to come back. Mm-hmm. And so to the extent possible, we would like kids at these activities. So what about the after-school club, you know, group situation and the NECC and their programs? I mean, are we offering this as an alternative to families?
Yes, NECC is there. They have started quite a few after-school clubs. They were there at our curriculum night offering information to parents, plus they've also been during the lunch period. And they've got quite a few 7th and 8th graders interested in the clubs.
I wonder if that might just be, I'm involved with the community center team on their board. But maybe if it could work between you and Betsy, that might be a need that the community center could fill. On game days, we know that there are going to be kids who want to hang around till the game starts at 4:15. What could the community center, because the community center is looking for kids to participate in their programs. So even if there are these days that come up from time to time, I mean, I just think that could be a conversation, maybe if you think it's interesting too, that you can have with them, and then we can have a way for the kids to stay after school and participate and be supervised.
Betsy's been very helpful and very knowledgeable, so definitely can touch base with her when we're doing that.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. The only thing I would add on that is that the PTA did the back-to-school picnic the night before, which was also a factor in the comfort level for kids coming back in, students and parents. There were a lot of students in all three buildings the night before, working on their lockers, figuring things out, looking at their schedules, talking to teachers. So that whole angst that you often see in the first day of school got over the night before. So that was a good. That was a very successful program, so thank you to the PTA.
Yes,
thank
you
very much. Heard great things about the barbecue. Thank you.
Yes, very well attended.
I was working, I couldn't go.
All right, thank you very much. I move on to public comment. Do we have any?
I'm the worst public speaker in the world, but I am here because the PTA has a goal, membership goal, this year for 100% membership. So we've put out sort of a challenge to the principals to help us get their schools, all their employees or teachers, as members of the PTA. So we sort of would like to include you in that challenge as well. We have currently, right now, they have given this information, we have 71 members. When we reached 62, we received an early bird award as one of the part of the membership goals for the PTA. We have 20 men, 28 teachers, staff, and 40 community members is our goal this year. We're looking for 40 members in the community to become members, businesses. We have, I don't know what she did with the paper, because I wasn't the one that was supposed to do this. What did she call it? $25 is the silver, we're calling it a silver award for businesses. And the $50 is the gold. And what that will do is the businesses in town that become PTA members, they'll be non-voting members, but they'll get a certificate for their business and also be mentioned at activities such as field day. An example would be like if the video store were to donate the were to become a member and donate like the video used at movie night in the West Building, it would say movie night sponsored by Video Forum and the PTA. That type of thing. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for 100% membership within the school and at least 40% membership within the community. We obviously like more, but that's our goal. We have offered a unnamed prize for the award for the school that meets the 100% drive. So if Wes meets it, or EBIS, or the high school, sometime around April, I think,
right,
end of March, beginning of April, they'll earn that award. And we're not going to disclose what it is, but membership ends about mid-March, so that's why we have to wait until then. But sooner than later would be nice. We're going to give all of you a copy of the community membership application, in case you guys know a business or anything like that, and then the individual PTA memberships.
Okay. There's only four here. Maybe I could just make little copies and put them in your board packet, too. Why don't you give me one so I can get a copy for those?
It's a great goal.
I'm sorry.
Wish you all every success, and I'll totally join, but I actually didn't bring $10 or whatever it is.
Six.
Hit me on for this week for 2 weeks.
But we're hoping to like improve, you know, be more community involved and, you know, get people up here. We're starting to plan a little bit of things to help out with the community day too that's gonna happen here. So we sort of hope that you know, we can build it up and get it in a, you know, more positive light.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
That's Christine. She works for us.
Thank you.
She's in Any other public comment? We move on. Thank you, ladies.
Okay. You want to take some now?
Our student report, Paul and Andrew.
My name is Paul Crisville. I am the senior class president of the class of 2014.
I'm Andrew Coon, and I'm president of the student council for Weavetown.
There's only a couple short things that we would like to discuss. First off, things that are happening around the school. Classes and school organizations are preparing for fundraising and community day. The second thing that I want to talk about is the fall sports have started, and I know the girls had a game today that I believe they lost 2-1 to Pine Plains in like the last 2 minutes of the game, unfortunately. But all fall sports are well on their way.
And for student council, on a sadder note, the student council will be donating $250 to the families of Zach Pruner and John Stagnaro to express our condolences as a school and to help them with their financial situation.
Yeah, very nice.
Nice. Very nice.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We move on down to the superintendent's report.
All right, you all know that we did receive our project number from State Ed for the septic issue, which that came much quicker than we thought it would come.
Yeah.
We also received the contract from Morris Associates that was in your packet. That has already been sent up to our school attorneys for their input to see if they have concerns. Mary Gurdon has a few things that she wants verified. She has already sent them up to Governor Palazzo. So if you have any areas of concern, if you would send those to me or to Tracy, we will make sure they get added to our list of questions for our attorneys before that goes to you for approval. Field trips. Mrs. Panzer had asked that we bring that back up at this meeting. It did come up at the district leadership team meeting last week, and our principals are here tonight, so we intentionally put it on tonight's agenda so we could have a discussion. And you did receive in your packet a list of field trips that were taken last year by a grade level.
Do you know what that, I didn't add it up, what the total budget there was? I don't know if anybody can
even bother. Each building gets its own budget, but some of those, like the college field trips, and some of the ones which I'm not going to oversee, were paid for with donations from the different banks. So each building, I don't have the dollar amount, but each building gets an allotment for field trips.
Okay. I guess if I can start, what I wanted to say to the principals, I guess I want you to know that for me, and I hope for the rest of the board, that field trips are a real area of interest and concern, and we want your input. I mean, we talk about field trips a lot, and it doesn't, at the board level, it doesn't quite seem to go anywhere, probably because we're not bringing in the principals. So we're looking, I think, for, we want to know, I guess, and as much as you feel you can speak about this, do you have the resources you need to so that your buildings can have a meaningful field trip program so that our kids are going to places that enhance their education, enrich them, places that are fun, places that build, you know, like a cohesive, like cohort of kids moving through these life experiences together, fun things that they're doing. Do you have the resources? Do you have the interest in your staff to make that happen? Is it happening? What do we need to give you to make this happen?
I think we do have the resources. We have the. I've never told anyone they couldn't go on a field trip. I have the money there for them. Teachers choose the field trips. The grades choose the field trips that they're going to take with their classes. I haven't ever heard anyone say that they don't like their choices, that they're limited. We still take long field trips. Some we take local field trips. We try to support our local businesses as well. We have a lot of great things in this area as well. I think what teachers are feeling is the challenge with everything that goes on now in the classrooms with all the new things going on. It used to be that I think teachers felt, at least when I was teaching 20 years ago, I could take a field trip every once a week and not feel like I was losing something out in the classroom. I think that has kind of turned around with all the new mandates and expectations and things that have to go on. So teachers find ways to make everything education enhancing and exciting for the kids. And with the worlds of the computer, they find a lot of things and a lot of videos and things like that on there that they can show kids.
I gotta go see a bus real quick, I'm sorry.
I think what we're trying to do is we want to encourage field trips, and we want the teachers to know that the opportunity is there for them to put together field trips to enhance their instruction and that kind of thing, isn't that?
I think so too, and I think, you know, what about sort of a tradition of field trips? You know, every year our first grade goes here, every year our second grade goes here. And so that, you know, the kids coming out know about these trips, they're excited about the trips, they expect the trips, and they're significant. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, going into town and all that, I think is wonderful, the local things that you do. I think that's great. I'm also, and that's totally a part of what I'm talking about. Even if every year the fifth grade goes, you know, from here to here to here to here, you know, in a day, but just building these traditions, building these Weebatuck traditions, this is what we do, this is what our kids do, and I think that could be really something meaningful. And I don't think any of this should really come from top down. Like, what do I know? I'm not there, you know, mm-hmm. with you guys. But I do know, the rest of the board's heard me say this too many times, that my first three who came through had that. In fifth grade, we go here. Was it the Museum Boston. Of Natural History? We go to Montreal. And we sleep over at the Maritime Aquarium. And then in sixth grade, we go to Medieval Times, and it's awesome. And in seventh grade, we go to the Museum of Natural History. And in eighth grade, we're going to Lake Compounds for our graduation, and it's amazing. None of those trips happened for my youngest child. None of them. She went to the Museum of Natural History, so one of them happened. So it's sad. It was like lost and missing and disappointing. And even up till, you know, eighth grade, realizing, oh, we're not going to Lake Compounds like Cara, Ty, and Maddie did. So I feel like I want to know what I can do as a member of the school community and as a board member to help bring some of these traditions back, and if not those, then something else that's doable and meaningful.
Well, I can only speak for Wes, and I know that for the last few years I've been there, that kindergarten has always been gone, always goes to the Audubon.
But Weathersfield.
And first grade goes to Weathersfield, as well as they go to Action Wildlife. That's been for the last probably 4 years, I think.
Bronx Zoo.
Second grade has always
gone. Yeah, what about
to
Bronx Zoo?
No.
My kids all went to Bronx Zoo.
It's not
the first three.
Right. You're right. No, I know. When I was here, the Bronx Zoo, it changed. I think that we heard at the DLT the other night from teachers that there's a lot of liabilities. There's a lot of things that go on. It's gotten crazy to go down there. There's a lot of responsibilities when teachers take these kinds of field trips.
And the teachers don't feel safe taking kids to the Bronx Zoo? Is that, I don't know.
I think they encountered a lot of issues and felt that they could take them to Action Wildlife instead.
To me, those two, see, this is what I'm talking about. Those two, like, you know, Action Wildlife, it doesn't compare
mm-hmm.
With respect to Action Wildlife.
I don't think I can force them to go to the Bronx Zoo. They choose their field trips, and I understand what you're saying, and yes, I know that they used to do that. It was also a different group of teachers that were in that grade then. Those teachers have long since retired, and a new regime of teachers has taken over and changed them the way we do some things.
I do have to say, to be fair, that I would be more hesitant than I would have years ago to let my child go to the Bronx Zoo unless there were a slew of chaperones there.
Sure.
Because it is a different world.
And
it just is.
There was. I think every chaperone had two kids.
Yes.
When I went with the kids.
K through three,
kids.
To be fair, K through three is probably the harder end of this. I mean, it used to be K through six, and then that was... Trevor Zoo is a lovely zoo, and that's something that's close and would not create the same kind of liability. I mean, maybe we can find... So we probably don't have everything on here then, because that's not on here.
Yeah,
it is
Trevor.
First grade zoo.
On the back, duh. Yeah, never mind. But,
American History.
I mean, I...
Maritime Center.
And
yeah.
I will say that Gary,
I mean, West,
you know, Kristen, you're right. We used to have maybe one parent for two kids on many of those big trips. We don't have as many chaperones anymore. Parents are, you know,
yeah,
more
a lot
parents
of working
are having,
families.
Both parents are working, and it's more challenging. Mm-hmm. I mean, even, you know, when we have activities during the school day, it's a different world.
We did a little brainstorming at the district leadership team about what can we do as a district to support teachers who are willing to take on some of those more traditional trips. Because the same conversation came up. We only had one parent there, but I mean one parent who didn't work here. We had a number of teachers here who are parents as well. But we can encourage them, we can support them, maybe we can offer them release time, because there's a lot of behind the scenes work.
I think this
out.
Is exactly
planning,
what we need to do.
Planning, or if we need clerical support, somebody to make phone calls, the principals know that they can support the teachers in that way, because if you want to go to the Bronx Zoo or the Museum of Natural History, there's a lot of planning that takes place. So we can support them, you know, structurally, but they have to be willing to accept that responsibility, and that's what Katie's saying. We can't force them, even though
And I'm not talking about forcing them. So I got that. We can't force them. So what we've done is we've had a lot of like conversations like, oh, field trips. And nothing happens. Nothing changes. So I guess that's what I'm saying. What are these resources? And how do we communicate this through you? You don't seem that, like, I don't, you know, it's maybe not the most thrilling conversation of your day right now. I don't know. That's fine, and still I want this to get delivered to staff without sounding like an idiot. That, no, really, what do you need?
No,
what do you want?
And I'm willing to do that, Kristen. I think field trips are wonderful too. I love the Bronx Zoo. I grew up right outside of the Bronx Zoo. I lived there. But I'm not sure. I mean, the staff knows that they can go on any field trips that they want. They sit and plan them. They do a lot of work behind the scenes, as Mr. Gatto said. They do a lot of work to prepare for it. They've talked about that Bronx Zoo trip. But again, it was different people who used to take that on. Those teachers have long since retired. There's a new group of first grade teachers that feel that the trips that they're doing are enhancing and wonderful to the students.
So what about, and Jen, you're just stepping into this role, so maybe Mr. Sauer too, like, you know, with the older kids, what about, why don't we go to D.C.? Why don't we go to Boston? Why don't we go to New York City? Why, you know, why aren't we doing these things? And what would it take to do those things? And would those things be valuable? I don't think I'm the only person who thinks they are.
Here's one thing to just throw out there, because I do take your point about teachers worrying about time with the new core curriculum and testing and everything. I do get that, because losing a day is not the same thing as it used to be. And if you do that three or four times a year, maybe that's not so small as it used to be. But what about doing them like from a Friday night to Saturday, so that we're not actually losing instructional time? It probably would cost us a little bit more, but if we can use that as an opportunity. If you
that's what the perception was originally, that the teachers didn't even realize that they had the money and the availability to do these kind of trips.
Yeah, I still have heard that from teachers. So and I mean, again, that may have been one bad year, and it's the kind of thing where it happens once and you kind of see it as. But I mean, maybe, and again, I think it would be good to send an email out to teachers, as I said, and maybe it should come from principals, maybe a superintendent, district business office, whatever. But I think it would be a good idea to put an official stamp of, we would really like you to do this. We will back you with money. We will, you know, I mean, please submit. We have money in the budget. Please submit your ideas and make sure that everyone knows so that we can, because it does take planning, so that we can try to get things going. The other thing, and I have no idea, I'm just throwing this out. I mean, we have 4 days a year for teachers to spend superintendent's conference days. Maybe we could designate one of those a field trip day instead.
Wow.
Well, we could. Or individual teachers, if eighth grade decides to go right, to Washington,
exactly.
D.C., they could use one of those days. The kids might say,
and that
say,
way they're not
going to
be,
yeah.
Well, yeah.
Some really motivated kids might say, I totally want to do that.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, you know, at least those, I'm just trying to come up with ways to try to make it easier.
Idea.
So maybe we can, you know, maybe we can do that.
So I guess please let your staffs know that this is, you know, an area of interest, and that we, to the best that we can, will, you know, provide the resources, reasonable resources, to make it happen. And
because I do agree with Kristen. It's not, and it's just not for the kids. The parents who went, those were great experiences. You know, I mean, those are things that you don't get easily in any other way in life, and especially when you have both parents working usually now. I mean, I really treasure those trips, and
yeah.
I wish that other kids, you know.
So we do have some great special things to the high school, you know, the trips to Europe, and then I know the seniors
had their
cruise, you know, there's some really great things happening, and like, let's.
Well, those are for a limited number of kids.
What's that?
Those are for a limited number of kids to raise their own funds.
Right, that's right.
So we need something that the kids that can afford all this can do.
Right.
Thank
you.
Thanks.
Do you want to put the principals and the students don't go up and know if they don't need to stay?
Yes, you can.
Principals and student reps, you do not need to stay. You're welcome to stay, but you don't need to. Everybody's got school tomorrow. So, so thank you. Next, I have the contract received from the Polarity. That was also in your packet.
Yes.
What do you think of that one, Judy?
I just have one comment on that. brought to my attention this week that, I'm not real familiar with this kind of thing, but in general, when you change a computer system or whatever in an institution or building or whatever, the ancillary expenses and the support services and things, it's normally three times what the cost of setup might be. And that's something we need to take a look at as we're looking at this contract. I'm not sure how this one's set up.
Well, this is the support.
That's
why we're doing this. Yeah, this isn't set up, this is support.
All right, because a couple of other places in the county have run into some major problems with unexpected expenses afterwards. So I'm just as a...
This company...
We don't cover that. I told them I thought we did have it covered, but I wasn't sure because I'm not an expert in this area.
And I don't remember if you were here when I first brought these guys up, but this company was founded by former teachers who got tired of seeing school districts raked over the coals with the cost of...
Did they work with Hotchkiss also?
They worked with Hotchkiss. They worked with, Indian Mountain.
Yeah.
They've worked with a lot of private school and public school systems, and they're now transitioning more into public school systems because their mission is to try to help school districts affordably upgrade. And I appreciate that. The suggestions they give have a lot to do with using open source and companies where the resources are free so that you don't have to pay endless leases to people. So
the person came to me and said, well, I said, I would bring it up and I
were... For whatever it's worth, they were here. They gave a great proposal. And they were very easy to work with. And they also said great things about the system we already have and the work.
Yes, we're in better shape than I thought we were, and I was very good to hear.
Yeah.
That was very good to hear. But this is, I mean, this is hourly. This is an up to kind of a thing. This doesn't mean that we, it's open-ended. I mean, we could use this over the next 3 years. So it's
1 to 3 year development.
Well, yeah.
That's what I thought, but then there's one line here which I think we need to make sure we are clear.
Second on the bottom, right?
Please note bulk hour, not that one. This totals approximately 60 hours. We recommend Weavitalk purchase bulk purchase hours in bulk in order to get this lowest rate, 155. So
yes, you do buy them up front.
But so, you can use them.
But you can use them over 3 years.
So $9,300 they're estimating. That's up to 3 years.
Yeah, but they in their first suggestions to us, they gave us ways, and well, and of course we still need to get the info on what we're paying BOCES for on some of those lines, but those suggestions may save us significant sums already. It's the kind of thing where this kind of thing can easily pay for itself because for the mistake you don't make that you spend the $10,000 on. And with, you know, with technology, just on a personal level, I know people out there who, I suppose, at computer experts and charge $100, $150 an hour to people, and I sit there and I go and do something for somebody and look at the machine afterwards, and I literally, one of them got paid to sit and read the manual, okay, because they didn't know what they... This is an area where there are lots of problems, where there are lots of people who present that they know something well and don't. And mistakes are very expensive.
So let me just try and understand something about the contract. So, and I don't really have any, it seems like a good investment to me. And so you pay them, no, it's based on a bulk of 60 hours, but they're going to invoice us weekly. So that doesn't look like we're paying a lump sum up front. It looks like we get weekly invoices. And it also says that we can terminate the contract at any time.
Yeah.
With 30 days notice.
Invoices include parts, right? They don't include the hours. Yeah.
I don't know what parts that would include.
I don't know either, but...
invoices in what? I'm sorry. I wish I had had...
Invoices would
include parts.
That's all. That's the other.
This is strictly for consulting. This is not for merchandise.
Okay, no hardware.
No hardware. Nope.
But they're expecting the work, the scope of the work to take 60 hours.
60 hours.
Right.
So they're going to actually say what they did in each hour.
But whatever. They're invoicing weekly or monthly. I don't think they're actually planning on us paying it up front.
Right. If Craig calls, he needs to talk to them.
We're signing a contract. That's all.
That we will pay them $155 an hour up to 60 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
I see.
And
so,
the
idea that over 3 years we're not going to use 60 hours is incomprehensible to me.
That's true. And I think that having Craig have the resource is money well spent.
Yeah, I do too.
The other thing is...
And fair to him.
He needs some support.
And I think this will help, that he will learn from it and be a better resource for us.
The other thing before we move forward with this is just so you know, it did come up at the district leadership team. Again, last week we talked about not this contract, but their recommendations. And Pete McCaffrey, who's our tech guy on that committee, had some questions that he was going to call Craig and ask about with clarification. But the whole concept of an educational consultant came up as well, because this is infrastructure. This is machines, it's servers, it's firewall, all of that. What the whole concept of how are we supporting these teachers as we move forward, if we go with tablets, if we go with iPads, do we have a resource? Because we do have Kevin Cleesby, who is now working 3 periods a day, and he said he cannot come up for air. So many people are reaching out to him.
Wow.
We need help. What do you think about this? He's been both sides of the road, moving like crazy.
Well, we knew we needed.
We need to look for someone in that field too, and actually start by asking these guys if they have a suggestion.
And that's where I was going with that. The homework for that committee, each person that was there that night agreed that they would do a little bit of research and try to come up with at least one educational consulting firm that we would bring to the table and look at their programs. Mm-hmm. So,
so Kevin's more like nuts and bolts, here's how to put up your website, like that kind of thing? Or
he's doing that, but Giselle Zoom supports that part of it. Mm-hmm. Kevin is more about actual instruction.
Okay.
Working mm-hmm. with how do you integrate technology into your instruction.
But what resources
too,
are there?
It's
what?
Too much work for him, or it's too...
Well, it's not that it's too much, but I think it's just scratching the surface. And if we're on the doorstep of going forward into the digital age, we might want to have somebody else. Mm-hmm.
See,
that
to me, for a half day of superintendent conference, or to get someone... And soon, who could give maybe like a couple of hour, 3 hour presentation to the entire staff might be a very worthwhile thing.
Right, we did a little bit of that last year.
I know you did. I know you did.
But, is that what you're thinking?
No,
like,
I'm thinking let's look and see if there are educational consulting firms who we would put on retainer, perhaps to come and work with Kevin and teachers.
Okay.
And to, if we're going to start wanting teachers to use iPads in the classroom, they don't all know how to do that.
And they need to have something meaningful that they're doing with them. Otherwise, it's just, you know.
And we've taken one small step forward. I think you remember we are offering technology as a class to sixth graders this year. Mm-hmm. And Kevin mm-hmm. Cleese, for just a 10-week course.
Mm-hmm.
And Denise Conway and Evelyn Brenny are the teachers, are team teaching at one sixth grade section at a time. But Evelyn's out on maternity leave, so Kevin and Denise...
I kind of feel like the kids could teach these classes by sixth grade.
Maybe they could. We've got to start.
Here's how to turn on the Xbox, Mom.
Yeah. So it's a little small step forward, and Kevin has been working hand-in-hand with Denise to integrate whatever it is they're doing into science or social studies.
I just want to...
Independently.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to throw this out there, too, because there's a heck of a lot of resources on the web. NYSA has mm-hmm. huge resources on their site for integrating computer instruction. Just having somebody make a list of that, Pearson, who is a... Well, they do all the testing. They have huge resources there. If someone can even make a list of that and circulate it to the teachers so that those...
Yes, Judy, it's whatever, I mean, we've spent money on the materials, right? Like on textbooks and stuff.
Yeah,
it must be,
a lot of
like,
the ones
it must
paying.
Be integrated,
yeah.
And
yeah.
It must be something, or maybe deep.
Yes, and you can use textbook money for software now. And for
yeah.
Money. Those rules are changing.
But you're talking about something like more bigger, like...
I'm talking about... Looking, not making a decision, but taking a look and see are there companies that could assist us to move forward quicker? Because
okay.
Kevin will do what he can do. And we've, to me, that's a giant step forward that we've even got him in that role.
Mm-hmm.
But we need more.
Someone's
having
a good time.
So that's going to be coming down the road at some future meeting. We'll be looking at proposals from other, hopefully looking at other proposals.
Mm-hmm.
So just want to make sure that you're aware that that's the second part of it.
Or do we have any retired people in our community that are good at this,
that
are willing to volunteer?
Well, and I should say, people like Pete, I would love to see him a little bit more involved in meetings when they come up with, like, reverse polarity and that. I think we have, Bob probably doesn't have time because he does all of Hotchkiss's, but if we can reach out to the community with people who have expertise too. That would be good.
But I think Pete would say, I was just going to get coffee, but like Pete would say, he's a tech guy, he's not an education guy.
Yes, yes. But he might have a contact or whatever. But Pete also did want to, he really wanted to be there at the meeting, and I didn't realize I didn't have his email, so I couldn't email him and tell him when they were going to meet with the technology committee. So if we want to make, I'd just like to make sure that, you know, our technology literate people are there as much as possible when this stuff comes in, because it helps to have as many heads as possible.
Agreed.
You know, I mean, it just does.
Great. So you mean like even when it's on the agenda like this, then
yeah.
Maybe we just want to give them a heads up.
Yep.
That's all I have. Mm-hmm. Although we'll decide under Board of Education whether we want to approve this or not. But it's not on the agenda.
It's not on the agenda. Okay. I would want to approve it.
But that would come under...
Maybe we'll... Yeah, when we get there, I'll make a motion. Okay.
Do we want our lawyers to look at this for me? It's basically a contract.
This is.
It's pretty standard.
Pretty straightforward. I mean, there's really not anything.
You gotta look at that Morris Associates one.
Yeah, they really gotta look at that.
Yeah, that is different, yes, yes.
Sometimes I feel.
Yeah, that's all I've got.
Can you discuss anything about this, the French?
I'll bring that up now or under Board of Education? You can bring it up now if you want.
No, let's bring it up now. About the French classes, we have French classes at 4 and 5. And some of the parents and students are concerned because they feel it's more of a French 5 and not 4. And they say they're going to go under curriculum of French 5. So I asked Jim to check it out and see how we're really going to, and what do we?
Mr. Sauer has talked to the French teacher and verified that that was what was going on, that the French 4 was being maybe taught in a cycle. 5 would be taught first and then French 4 would be next. So he's working with the teacher and I'm being careful because this guy's writing it down. Integrating French 4 and 5 together, differentiating instruction so that both levels can be taught at the same time. And Julie, I think we've got a good suggestion to you.
Yeah, I had hoped that perhaps, I mean, if it is difficult to fit into the schedule, I had hoped that we could at least, because the teachers have an extra class open, if we could at least do an independent study and perhaps buy some software, Rosetta Stone programs or whatever, that would help make it more meaningful and a little easier for the teacher and the kids to get the different levels of instruction that they need.
That's a very good idea.
So I hopefully can talk to the teachers and guidance of the kids and maybe work something out there so that we can solve this because ideally, you want them to be able to get the best full year of the course they're trying to take that they can.
That
so,
great.
Well, we have to get it done in the least amount of time.
Fairly soon, yes.
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 I
think
that
would be good.
That parent is coming in to meet with Mr. Sauer and the teacher on Wednesday.
Great. So that would be a good time to try to bring it up and see what could
like
be worked out.
A little language lab, right? Sure. Where you come in and put your headphones on and you...
Yeah, because the NICE has no problem with independent study. I mean,
right.
Kids in high school
right.
can do
the
that.
The principal
so.
Can award credit for that.
Yeah.
So it's just a little bit different.
Yeah.
Got to come at it a little
well, let's,
bit different.
Let's try to get out of the box here.
Okay.
And it's but you have a teacher that you're reporting to that's sort of guiding you through your independent study.
Absolutely. Yes, it has to be under the guidance of the teacher. Yeah.
Since we're talking about courses, anything on earth science, is that going ahead the way it should?
Mm-hmm. I believe that it is.
Good. Okay.
I'm trying to get my son to get certified in earth science after he gets his math certification.
Earth science is, we're not alone.
This is becoming
one of
those
things. Because we don't want a problem like we had a few years back where the year's half over and then we've got a big problem. So
that's why I bring up this about this.
No, you're right, Bill, you're right. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. As soon as we hear something, we need to right away get
right.
She was very, very wise to get going on it. Really, that parent,
yes.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
Okay, so we'll be run a little more information on Friday.
Yep.
What we're doing, how it's accomplished. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All right. Is there anything else other than superintendent?
No.
No? Okay, we'll move on to consent agenda. Is there anything anybody wants to pull off or have concerns?
Yeah. No, I'm all set.
I move we approve the consent agenda as presented.
I second it.
Motion made, second. Any discussion we just had? No? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
No, I should have pulled that off. That's right. It's just the copier purchases from both. I really, at some point, we need to discuss not churning out as much paper as we churn out. But that's something that's a long-term discussion. We're living in an internet age, and email and PDFs, and we got to try to do something about it. But that's a long-term solution, not right now. Right now, we need the copiers. And also, you want to.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do.
And we come to a point where we won't have to buy copiers anymore.
That would be good.
Okay, then also under business and operations, we accepted some donations. We have a donation from DRA Imaging Group, which donated a lot of things for our backpack program in our schools. And also where's the other one from? Target, Take Charge for Educational Program. I have a donation from them. We accept it. Thank you very much. Okay. And we had a donation last time. We didn't recognize them.
Who was neighbors. That neighbors of Ankrumdale.
Neighbors, yes. Of Millbrook.
Helping neighbors.
Helping neighbors from Millbrook.
In Ankrumdale.
In Ankrum.
Yeah.
We want to thank them too. So.
Ankrumdale,
I yes. know. It is different, I know.
Okay. Do you happen to know who, like how DRA Imaging Group came to make a donation to us?
I do.
Okay.
Katie McEnroe made that connection.
Great.
Always very appreciative of people who Absolutely. Give us stuff when they don't
yeah,
have
so
to. It's very nice. The kids can always use it. It's getting to be very expensive for kids to fill their book bags at the beginning
and
of the year.
And just one other thing, I don't know if this stuff is amazing. I just hope that kids and families know. And last year we got all this amazing stuff from
Rooney Design.
From Maureen. And that the kids and the families know about it before they come to school on the first day where they already got, you know. Like, do you know if it's communicated?
That's a very good question.
Because parents sweat that out and you know, and the kids are so anxious for it. And then, you know, you go and you spend all the money and then you show up first day and go, oh,
could have had it free. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I can find out how it's
going. Okay, we might do that in the future. We'll have it on our website. Maybe we already do.
Okay, so now we'll move to Board of Education.
We have 7B. Which is not on the consent agenda.
What's that?
7B is not asterisk. It's not on the consent agenda.
Did we vote on the consent agenda?
We voted on the consent agenda.
But 7B isn't on the consent agenda.
Right, okay.
Acceptance of the financial report as submitted.
Treasurer's
report,
accept the
budget spots report, revenue report, and claims audit report, and warrants.
So moved.
Okay, made and seconded.
Second.
Second, Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No opinion on the delegations, right?
Correct.
Okay. Nothing other than the other district. Okay, business and operations. We do first three. Now we're back to Board of Education.
Yes.
Committee report.
Okay, policy committee met. We have, we should really bring, we're waiting to get more information on the BYOD bring your own device policy because we really need a lot more background on that.
We're going to ask for sample policies from New York State School Boards.
Yes, not information so much as,
Associates. And Gervin Filosa, our attorneys, as well as the one we received from Craig Trachtenberg, so we will get.
Yeah, not looking to reinvent the wheel, so we're going to try to. Yeah, the policy on the two of them, the valedictorian and salutatorian. As everyone knows, there was an issue with the one student who's coming in. As it turns out, they're only going to be taking one class here. A day at gym, and that's all. So I feel pretty confident, and this is what, we'll write up and say if the rest of the board is here, that at the very least a student should take more than 50% of their load at Weavetuck in order to be a valedictorian or salutatorian.
Yes.
So that one's kind of answered. It is an issue that we probably need to revisit in a little more depth later, because if a student does come in just in the senior year and comes from a district where they are a school where they may have weighted differently, we have to decide, is it fair? That student didn't ask their parents to move, you know. I mean, they are just coming here, but is it really fair to a student who's been at Weavetuck for 4 years to have someone on top because of different policies in a district they came from? It's not as easy answer.
Could we say, is there any way to control for that? Like a district similar to Weavetuck or a district with similar grading policies and structure and weighting? Like, you know, that
right.
would be honored, you know, and we have to maybe do it on a case-by-case basis, because maybe we want to say, I don't like what you said, you get a senior coming, maybe they join our school community, work their tail off, you know, and compete. Maybe they're, I don't know, maybe you want to say
it's not fair to the kids that busted their hump all 4 years
ago.
But
why do you think that one didn't?
I mean, if you look back,
we've had a number
of years ago, we had this happen before.
Yes, this is twice this happened.
And I can't. I'm trying to recall exactly what we did, but I think that student was here more than 1 year. He was here 2, I believe, and became the valedictorian. But there was.
Are we determining this for our purposes, who gives the speech, or is this who gets reported to, like, the state, for example?
This is the whole kit and caboodle.
The state is the state, right? If they came from another school district in the state?
No, I think we should have a policy where we even go, like, we did this past year.
Let me throw this out, because colleges will do this. If you have a course at one college, and you go to another one, if they have a course that is similar, you will get credit for that course as having fulfilled one of theirs.
Right.
Now, if a student comes from a district where they offer 17 different AP courses that we don't hear, and they get weighted in a different way, what if we say, okay, fine, if we have an AP course that's similar, we'll count that, but with our weighting, whatever grade you got.
That's right. I think that's the way.
And if we don't have an AP course that's similar, then you're just getting the flat grade. And at least everyone's on the same, I just thought of it. At least everyone's on the same playing field then.
We need to level the playing field. And
I mean, at least then, I still can't help but feel that somebody should at least be here for 2 years if they're going to be a valedictorian and salutatorian, but that's one part of it is whether they're part of the school community, as you would want someone who's going to be the valedictorian or salutatorian to be. But the other part of it is the grades, and it's not really in essence fair if somebody has a heads up from simply being in a district where there's more available. Or a step up, not a heads up, but you know. So I mean, that's a possibility. We just wanted to get input from the whole board before we go into more detail. So if you guys want to think about it, and
we didn't really make much of a decision on that.
We don't have to right now, and we can discuss it again.
Well, we better be made.
We can bring it back up in
September now.
We did, however, move forward in some other areas.
Yes, yes.
That one, we kind of just tabled.
We punted.
Yes. What we did work on, we drafted some guidelines for scholarship awards, and I'll put those in the board packet.
Yes.
We'll type them up and make them look sharp, and we will send them to you on Friday. We'll also send them back to Mr. Sauer to take to the scholarship committee. For their input, just as a draft right now.
Good.
So it's essentially some general guidelines as a concerning the makeup of the committee, what guidelines are used to decide scholarship awards and that. And I think, and again, anybody who has more ideas, come back. We figure this way, if we give it to the committee and get their input back, then we can finish the dialogue and have something set up that's done every year, consistently, objectively. So that's the aim anyway.
That was a decision that we made when we had the concern expressed to us that we would take it on for the fall semester and get the decisions made.
Did you kind of ask anything of the committee to talk to the outside organizations that are giving scholarships to?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Right.
So we have, there's the outside organizations, and then there's the money that we solicit, right? That far. And is the business office, like, I think the business office sufficiently aware that we want to know about the money coming in and accept it and see it on our board agenda? Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
See, the money coming in now, a lot of it's not done until the week of the...
Right.
They're needed.
But we never,
they don't know until the very last minute.
They can change the timing of the whole thing.
You're right.
Sending out the letters, getting a deadline.
But even if they don't know, I mean, yes, at the awards dinner, they're acknowledged, but they really should be acknowledged in open session. I mean, it really should be something where we say, thank you.
Yes.
You know, it's... So
we did that, and then the other issue we talked about was the principal and teacher effectiveness ratings, APPR ratings. Mm-hmm. So you all got a copy. I don't know if you had a chance to read it. There's back in Kills policy. We're going to modify that to tailor it to Weavetuck, and it'll be in your board packet and then on the agenda for our first reading the next board meeting. Mm-hmm. So that we are in compliance with that regulation. And we'll be meeting on October 7th.
Yes.
The only other thing is, and I put in the board packet, we do need to have a finance committee meeting, and the dates that they gave us are October 2nd or 3rd, and finance this year is Judy, Bill, Kristen, and Dale. We need to have our auditors present to the finance committee, and then we need to present to the whole board on October 7th.
Let me see.
October
2nd,
that's a Wednesday and a Thursday?
2nd or 3rd, yes. We couldn't get them on any Mondays. We tried every Monday, even our non-board meeting Mondays, but... Other districts must have beaten us to the punch because they're booked every Monday night.
At this stage, it doesn't matter to me. So if anybody else has...
Wednesday?
Second or third? Is that a Tuesday, Wednesday?
No, Wednesday, Thursday.
Either day I can do. Just smaller number of days from them.
I think I can do either of those days.
Okay, so...
All right, we want to just pick Wednesday?
Pick one. So it's Wednesday. The second?
Wednesday,
okay,
the second.
Okay, we will commit that tomorrow.
So and 6:30, the time frame,
6:30. And the second part of my question is, do we want to have a facilities meeting? Because almost the same members, it's Kristen's not on facilities, but who's our other facilities person? Is it John, are you on facilities this year?
Mr. Trotta.
Mr. Trotta. But should we do finance because the audit report won't take all that long?
No.
But we really should have a facilities committee meeting.
Yeah.
So, same night?
Will we have enough time?
Well, if we start at 6:30, we...
That would start at like 7 then?
So, say 6:30 and 7:15 for facilities. How about that? 45 minutes for the audit report?
Yeah.
So, two committees that night. If Bob's not here, if he's not back... Kristen will already be at that meeting. She can substitute. She used to be on facilities anyway. So there you go. So finance and facilities on the 2nd. Is that that agreed?
Yeah, okay. Got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I will.
Okay.
And that's all we have on.
I have one quick thing. Board of Ed, and I just, how are all the appointments and all that, that's all shaping up? I mean, we post them, it's clear what opportunities there are for like teacher assistants and aides and stuff to, you know, class advisors and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Just ask, I think at one point there was some disappointment or...
There was some of the summer school posting.
Maybe it was even back a few years that things felt kind of locked up and maybe our system wasn't all...
We've talked about this again last year and the year before, making sure that they don't get lost.
Yeah.
Well, so. And again, I want to make I think in terms of fairness, an email is far more fair than posting them in the offices. I really do not see posting them in the offices as an effective method of getting everybody. I just don't, that's all.
And do you think, and support staff will check their Weebatuck email?
I mean, they always check their email, but I, you know, generally speaking, a lot of teachers are just, if you're busy and you're helping kids and you're doing, so you're not going to be spending your life down in the office looking on the wall for, right. You know. So I just don't see that as a way to get to everybody. And you certainly want to be fair and get to everybody. So
we struggle with deadlines, for example.
It'd be a hard copy.
They don't always apply.
Yeah.
And the licensure applies so that we have these lingering appointments all year long. For,
right.
You know, for different.
Yeah, you can emails and always get there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Executive session.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Anything under public comment again? Since we're moving right along. There's no public comment. I make a motion to move to exec session.
Second.
Motion made second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. You guys have it? Okay. Thanks
this
everyone for coming.
This is to discuss personnel?
Discuss personnel.
Yes.
Okay.
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 Well,
you're all
thank
set.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. Nice to meet you.
Yes.